ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय So we ended this morning with text 15. And text 15 was discussing the 25th element. 25th element was known as time, because in order to have creation, you have to have time. And we discussed different ways of using the terms naguna and saguna, nirguna and saguna Brahman. And the next two verses, we'll be discussing more about time. There, earlier in this canto, there's two chapters simply speaking about time. Time is a very important subject. There are five important topics within Bhagavad Gita. Time is one of them. But not very much is spoken about time. Modes of nature, a lot, living entity, material nature, property, karma, the time, not so much. But here's a little discussion about time, and I think you'll appreciate it. Far more is earlier. Maitreya is speaking to Vidura on the creation, because time is needed for creation, so he discusses time. So here we go. The 25th element called time. The influence of the Supreme Personality Godhead is felt in the time factor, which causes fear of death due to the false ego of the deluded soul who has contacted material nature. Devahuti has asked a question. Please describe the relationship between the Supreme Lord and his energies. So specifically, let's see what she says. Kindly explain the characteristics of the Supreme Person and his energies. For both of these are the causes of the unmanifest and manifest creation. So this is one of those energies, Kala Shakti. Please explain the characteristics of the Supreme Person and his energies. So, this influence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is felt in the time factor, which causes fear of death due to the false ego of the deluded soul who has contacted material nature, purport. The living entity's fear of death is due to his false ego of identifying with the body. Everyone is afraid of death. Actually, there is no death for the spirit soul, but due to our absorption in the identification of body as self, the fear of death develops. It is also stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam 11.237, that phrase is an often referred to phrase. Vayam dvitiyam abhiniveshitaksyat. Dvitiya refers to matter. which is beyond spirit. Well, he's used the word beyond. It's distinct from spirit. Matter is the secondary manifestation of spirit, for matter is produced from spirit. What does that mean? Just as the material elements described are caused by the Supreme Lord or the Supreme Spirit, the body is also a product of the spirit soul. That's what it means. So, as this, so that. So, as the Supreme Lord produces material energy that was described earlier, it's one of his energies and he releases it. So also, or in a similar way, the spirit soul in contact with matter develops a material body. So the, not exactly as the Supreme Lord generates the material energy, souls generate bodies, but rather the soul's desires and karma in contact with matter, they're awarded a body. They develop a body in that way. So sometimes called secondary manifestation of spirit. The primary manifestation of spirit is Krishna manifests souls, and souls manifest bodies. Secondary manifestation of spirit, soul. Therefore, the material body is called Dvitiya, or the second. One who is absorbed in the second element or second exhibition of the spirit is afraid of death. When one is fully convinced that he is not the body, there is no question of fearing death, since the spirit soul does not die. It's simple. There are different terms to describe the same thing, but the same thing doesn't change because you use different terms to describe it. Absorption in false ego, plus the time energy, equals fear of death. And different scriptural references that support it. So this false ego or identification with matter is sometimes given this term, dvitiya. The second. Literally, that's what it means, the second. Or the second manifestation, the second manifestation of the soul. Thinking that's me, enter the time factor that the body is created, it's also going to be destroyed. There's fear. Fear of death. And there may be no, there may be or may not be some immediate calamity that threatens life. But even if there isn't the immediate calamity that threatens life, there's the fear. Even some startling sound or something. Next paragraph. If the spirit soul engages in the spiritual activities of devotional service, he is completely freed from the platform of birth and death. His next position is complete spiritual freedom from a material body. Then the opposite. Fear of death is the action of kala, or the time factor, which represents the influence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In other words, time is destructive. Whatever is created is subject to destruction and dissolution, which is the action of time. By the way, time brings things into being too. Time doesn't just destroy, because you don't have. So if we get up and leave the room, which something is being destroyed of being in the room, but something is being created also, presence in another room or another place. You leave one thing and you take on another thing. Something is destroyed, something is created. Time is needed for creation and destruction. Time is needed for events. Past, present, future. Without time, you don't have past, present, future. You don't have events. Time is a representation of the Lord, and it reminds us also that we must surrender unto the Lord. The Lord speaks to every conditioned soul as time. He says in Bhagavad Gita that if someone surrenders unto him, then there's no longer any problem of birth and death. That's another way of saying the same thing. The realm of devotional service is where time doesn't act in the same way. Death will come, but rebirth will not come. You move from one place and you don't enter into another material place. Time, the action of time as we know it, no longer has bearing. It acts upon those previous free will choices that we errantly made, but it isn't continuing to act when we take shelter of Krishna. Time reminds us that we must surrender unto the Lord. The Lord speaks to every conditioned soul as time, he says in Bhagavad Gita, that if someone surrenders unto him, there's no longer any problem of birth and death. We should therefore accept the time factor as the Supreme Personality of Godhead standing before us. That's a little different way of thinking of time than we normally think of time. We normally think of time as it's 6:35. That's what time it is. And, you know, different time zones, okay, and then New York will be in a couple of days. It's going to be such and such time. And it takes so much time to get to the airport to get to the destination. That's time. This Bhagavatam is helping us to look at time in a very different way. It's an energy that brings into being different things and takes out of being different things. It's the 25th element of creation. But it acts differently according to how we regard Krishna. And when we surrender to Krishna, the bringing things at the being and destroying things, action of time, subsides and stops. And in that surrendered to Krishna condition, one can experience Krishna. And similarly, one can experience time. Nice sentence. We should therefore accept the time factor as the Supreme Personality of Godhead standing before us. Hey, we have a relationship with Krishna. And partly that relationship with Krishna can be understood by us, by how we use the time that's standing before us. It's our relationship with Krishna, how we use our time. Very nice. Kapila Dev continues, my dear mother, O daughter of Swayambhuva Manu, the time factor, as I have explained, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, from whom the creation begins as a result of the agitation of the neutral, unmanifested nature. What agitates the neutral, unmanifested matter? It's the glance of the Supreme Lord. And when we say the glance of the Supreme Lord, it's literally, it's his glance. It has a name, Shambhu. And that's the name of his glance. And within the glance are the living entities in time. So time is there, living entities are there, the glance of the Lord is there. The unmanifested, neutral, material nature becomes agitated. Prabhupada uses this word agitated like a woman who receives is this the place of pregnancy, and the egg of the female becomes agitated, the womb of the male, female becomes agitated. The agitated is the action of the male counterpart, and the male counterpart in the case of the material nature is the glance of the Supreme Lord. We can say it's the Supreme Lord. More specifically, it's the glance of the Supreme Lord, but the glance of the Supreme Lord is not different than the Supreme Lord. Angami yasya sakalendriya vritimanti. He's contacting material nature, but not directly. This is one of the unique features of Lord Vishnu in comparison to Brahma and Shiva. Lord Vishnu doesn't directly contact material nature. Lord Shiva does, and Lord Brahma does, but Lord Vishnu doesn't, except through his glance, which is not different than him. But because that glance of the Lord contacts material nature, that's Shambhu, or milk in contact with a souring agent becomes dahi. Who is Lord Shiva? It's the glance of Lord, he is the glance of Lord Vishnu in contact with material nature. He's dahi. Milk in contact with the souring agent. So this word agitated time is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, from whom the creation begins as a result of the agitation of the neutral unmanifested nature. Purport. The unmanifested state of material nature, what's the term for that? We heard yesterday or this morning? Pradhan. The unmanifested state of material nature, Pradhan, is being explained. The Lord says, Kapila Dev says, that when the unmanifested material nature, Pradhan, is agitated by the glance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Pradhan begins to manifest itself in different ways. Before this agitation remains in a neutral state, without interaction by the three modes of material nature. In other words, material nature cannot produce any variety of manifestation without the contact with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is very nicely explained in Bhagavad Gita. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the cause of all products of material nature. Without his contact, material nature cannot produce a thing. Just as wombs of mothers don't produce anything on their own, material nature doesn't produce anything on its own. And the material scientists may say, oh yes, material nature does produce things. And Scripture says, not without the contact of the Supreme Lord. So where's this contact of the Supreme Lord thing? I don't see any Supreme Lord. I don't see any contact of the Supreme Lord. Show me time. Show me the Lord's glance. Show me the living entities. You can't show me, huh? Okay, well, so much for your sentimentalism. Here's material nature producing things. For the paragraph. In Chaitanya Charitamrita also, a very suitable example is given in this connection. Although the nipples on a goat's neck appear to be breast nipples, they do not give milk. Similarly, material nature appears to the material scientist to act and react in a wonderful manner. But in reality, it cannot act without the agitator, time. Who is the representation of the Supreme Personality, Godhead, when time agitates the neutral state of material nature begins to produce varieties of manifestations. Ultimately, it is said that the Supreme Personality, Godhead, is the cause of creation. As a woman cannot produce children unless impregnated by a man, material nature cannot produce or manifest anything unless it is impregnated by the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the form of the time factor. So that's producing. Time also destroys. So we can say reasonably it produces, it destroys, it must also have some role in maintaining. After all, Vishnu is the maintainer and this is one of his potencies. Devahuti is not a jnani. She's not a big philosopher that wants to get an A in her philosophy exam. She is interested in getting released from illusion. And she sees her son, who is none other than the Personality of Godhead, as the capable agent of releasing her. So, the purpose of this is not just interesting information. So we can become professors of interesting information. It's the same as Devahuti was wishing, release from the clutches of illusion. So that we can have a unmistakably clear picture of what happens in day-to-day experience of life and the relationship of that with the Supreme Lord. It's not the practical application of this is not that you have to do some mental gymnastics when you're walking towards the door and you have to open the door and you think something, you know, this philosophical analysis of what's about to happen as I reach for the doorknob and open the door. It's not that kind of micro mental gymnastics. That's not the proper application. The proper application is through devotion, at least in principle, be aware of the false ego that's at play that thinks, now I'm going to do this, now I'm going to walk across the floor, grab the doorknob, turn the doorknob, open the door, and I'm going to walk through the door and do whatever the next thing is. We're moving on a machine of the material nature. The machine has different parts, and the parts are they're animated by the touch of spirit. But without the time energy of the Supreme Lord, we couldn't. The whole machine doesn't move. we're dependent upon the Supreme Lord. Therefore, the production of matter, the differentiation of the parts of matter, for putting the pieces together, for operating the machine, for having time, energy to allow us to do stuff. Some awareness of our dependence upon the Supreme Lord should be part of what we do as we're moving about. And when we find the doorknob falls off, or somebody locked it from the other side and we're locked in, or some twist and turn of material nature that's happens, there's a calmness and a detachment from what's produced from the variegated positions of matter. We continue to do our part in a conscientious manner, but we're not, one can be detached from the happiness and distress of how matter is moving at this particular moment. And in that detached state, we can focus on what our real service is rather than making the configuration of matter more appealing. That's not our main business. Our main business is seeing that the service that is to be done for Krishna, we're doing our diligent best to accomplish that by Krishna's mercy. Stay fixed in the mood of and in the execution of our service to Krishna. And not be bewildered by false ego's influence. Specific to this section is the influence of fear of death. And then there's, you know, there's a thousand little deaths of things that are at this moment and they're not going to be at the next moment. Where these two guys, young and healthy, and who thinks about old age and diseases? Because you're young and healthy. That will change. And then, you know, the rest. How do we maintain a spirit of the proper perspective of the soul's journey as long as we're identifying with the body and the designations of body? I'm smart, I'm not, I'm successful, I'm a failure. So many things. The main thing is detachment. And we looked up that nice reference from Bhagavad Gita, chapter 5, text number 4. Look at that, there's right there. Sankhya yoga pratak bhava pravadanti na pandita ekam api astatak samyag ubhayor vindate phalam. Only the ignorant speak of devotional service, karma yoga, as being different from the analytical study of the material world, Sankhya yoga. Those who are actually learned say he who applies himself well to one of these paths achieves the result of both. Purport. The aim of the analytical study of the material world is to find the soul of existence. A little further down is the root of existence. One process is to find the root of the tree, the other is to water the root. The real student of Sankhya philosophy finds the root of the material world, Vishnu, and then, in perfect knowledge, engages himself in the service of the Lord. So there's no difference between the two. This effort of through what Kapila Deva is doing, Devahuti's questions are assisting that. It's finding the root, the cause of all causes, the absolute truth, Vishnu, Krishna. Then there's effects of that original cause and effects of those effects, and they become causes of other effects. And the root of all existence is Lord Vishnu, and our attention should go there and serve Him while we're involved with this cause and effect and that cause and effect and other things. He's the cause of all causes. Sankhya, this will help us to achieve that. And the purpose of that analysis is specifically in enriching the effectiveness of our devotional tendency, our tendency to serve properly. Some festival out here? Okay. Any discussion? No. Okay.
Explaining that when we don't understand the time potential of the Lord, the fear overtakes living entity or even the grip of fear. And we are also explaining that when you understand that, you get rid of all signals. So, not being very aware of too analytical as you're explaining. How can we also experience the influence of time and we want the influence in a materialistic way? Focus on the time.
Well, here's two thoughts. One is, when we value devotional service very much, as in the stage of bhava, time becomes very important. That we use each moment. So we experience time that way when we're absorbed in devotional service, and we experience time in a different way when we're casual with devotional service, or where for the materialist, the materialist is obsessed with their fruitive program to fill it. Time is money. Mentality. People become very cold and impersonal, where they're only interested in money. And if they're like, have a short conversation or speak on the phone, it's not about money. The phone goes down and you get out of here, because this is, time is money. Time is valued by the materialist in a different mood and a different manner also than for a devotee. But we can experience time in a different way through devotion itself. And here's another answer to your question. When absorbed in chanting the holy name, we get a sense of what timelessness is. And we're the opposite. When we're chanting the holy name and we're not being attentive, it takes forever. And we're just watching the clock, when am I going to be done? And we can experience time differently in those two ways. They're similar, but they're not exactly the same. One is how we value time, another is how we experience time. Or timelessness. You just chant forever and be very happy until the fruitive passion mode pokes its head into our japa and says, now you've got to do something. Therefore, best ideal chanting early in the morning before the day's activity begins. Complete chanting like that. Anything else?
Questions of scientists showing where things in time. They are just saying action reaction of the material. So how do we address that question?
There's so many ways. One way that comes to mind right away is, show me an electron. Have you seen an electron, my dear Mr. Scientist? Has anyone seen? They have electron telescopes, or microscopes, but have they seen an electron? But there's vast field of study and merchandising and marketing in the field of what electrons do. They know what electron does, and based upon its effects or its symptoms, there's a whole industry. So who has seen the soul? Who has seen a time? Or who has seen a glance of the Supreme Lord? But we can experience by their effects. The absence of the soul and the presence of the soul. For example, the weight of a body when someone is alive and the weight of the body when someone is dead. The weight's different. Why? What's changed? Same elements are there, same bag, same stuff inside the bag. What's changed? Out of body experiences. Please explain it, my dear Mr. Scientist. If consciousness is electrical chemical events of the brain, and the brain shuts down during cardiac arrest, and someone is experiencing their body being operated upon during cardiac arrest, when there's no blood going to the brain or there's no electrochemical events, what's that? And hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of such examples. My dear scientist, what's that? There's a symptom, just like an electron has its symptoms. Please offer an explanation. Within their own realm, aside from the authority. But we can say, you don't know because you don't accept this authority. Just like I may not know some things that you know because I don't have that same authority that you have. You know some things over there, and I don't know some things over here. If you say there's no original cause and that life comes about through chemicals, my dear scientist, let me place before you all the chemicals that make up life and that see you make life. But then you say, well, it takes so many millions of years. Then maybe it won't. So it's a theory, it's not science. Better say you don't know. But we know, and what on the basis we know is the authority of Scripture. And you reject Scripture, so you'll not know, but we know on the authority of Scripture. There's a discussion on this topic between Srila Prabhupada and Dr. Benson, where Benson is a scientist and Prabhupada is saying, as a scientist, you're very intelligent. You should use your intelligence to prove the existence of God. And then, you know, it goes back and forth on that theme. And then at the end, he says, Benson says, you know, the problem is, I have a problem accepting things that one cannot see and verify that way. And Prabhupada agrees with him. He said, yes, there are things that you can't see. Give some example where a child asks his mother or father, what's that? And the mother or father says, that's what that is. They're not mature enough to understand what that is. But if they simply accept, they'll have the right understanding, and as they mature, then their understanding will mature. On the authority of mother and father. But otherwise, he's not going to have right knowledge. Like by experimental method, not going to get proper knowledge. He'll see things according to his own paradigm or perspective, and that's not the right perspective. And then he grows with that mistaken perspective, and it just becomes a more elaborate version of misconception. So one has to accept proper authority to understand things properly. You listen to or read the transcriptions of Prabhupada's discussions with Srup Damodar Maharaj or B.I. devotees or those publications, Life Comes From Life. Prabhupada gives seeds that they in turn have expanded upon, but the seeds of those arguments or the counterposition to one who says, show me. How strong are your eyes? What can you see? You can't see the universe, the extent of the universe we're in, what to speak of beyond the universe. So how can you know about God? Show me. You can't see what's in front of you. You don't know how your food is digested. There's so many things for you that are inconceivable beyond your knowledge. In the challenging spirit, you're saying, show me God. It's an argument that says one must accept the inconceivable potencies of the Supreme Lord in order to understand Him. And there's so many things where there's inconceivable potencies we just don't know. It's the best of scientists don't know. How your fingernails grow. I don't know. How bone comes from flesh. They don't know. So many things. Anything else? Yes? Yes.
What is the component to this fixed in place? What is the motivation factor?
Motivation? That's different than, you know, okay, motivation is largely we don't like to suffer. It's pretty universal. We don't like to suffer. And forgetfulness of what's real. Ignorance is the root of suffering. But we want to be happy. We don't want to suffer. I mean, motivationally, that's at the very beginning. And in a more mature stage, motivationally, it's the mode of goodness motivation. I want my existence to be pure. It's something that I value, and I just keep moving in that direction because it's the mode of nature by which I live. The previous one is passion. I want happiness. And I'm allowing that happiness to go in the direction towards goodness because I realize that passion, not in goodness, not guided by light, leads to suffering. I don't like to suffer. But in goodness, the motivation is, it's good for me. It will purify my existence. I should do it. It is to be done. It is duty. That's the motive of goodness, motivator. The motive of a person in the world of goodness. And in transcendences, the motivation is, I'm attracted. In very advanced stage, I can't help my attraction. The gopis try to forget Krishna. They can't forget Krishna. They're impelled by their attraction to Krishna. Even in the pain of separation, it's causing them pain. We don't like pain. They can't help themselves. Different motivators, depending on the position. A shorter version of all of that is, wherever we're attached, that's where our attention goes. If we become attached to Krishna, then our attention goes. And in the sadhana stage, we're not attached to Krishna yet. But we may be attached to the mode of goodness purpose that says this will purify me. Even I'm not attached to Krishna. I'm convinced this will purify me. Or we may be attached to those persons who are representatives of Krishna and inspired by that relationship of affection and love and feeling of shelter in them, we move in that direction. We don't go another direction. That's in the previous chapter, Sadhu Sangha chapter, chapter 25. Now it's taking into further refinement from that further detail. Anything? Anything? Okay. Thank you very much. Shri Prabhupada, Ki Jai. Shri Prabhupada, Ki Jai.